Hello?
Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino. Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton. Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino. Elizabeth is the CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, a leading multimedia provider of lifestyle content. The Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. It's where you'll find inspirational and encouraging stories, advice, and information with our radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Real people, real advice, real places, real products and businesses, real life stories, and more, including real celebrity life. Be your best and keep it real, confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You. Now, here's your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino.
Sorry about that at the top there. We still are learning the audio clip for the show. Welcome, everyone, to a special edition of the Best Ever You Show. And tonight we have Dr. Katie Eastman joining us as the co-host of the show. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
We're glad you are all settled out there in the Seattle, Washington area, your big move from Maine to Seattle.
Yes, it has. It's been a big transition last few months, but it's beautiful. It's been a wonderful move.
Yeah, good. Well, we've got you back tonight because we've got a show, and I'm stumbling on my words already, and I've got a box of tissues nearby because we have with us three families tonight who have each lost children to food allergies, and I also suffer from food allergies. I've had them for almost 15 years now, and I have life-threatening food allergies to all nuts, peanuts, fish, and shellfish, and so I know, you know, and I've been resuscitated twice, so it's a really huge honor to have these three families here with us tonight to talk about their children, and I want to introduce the parents one by one, and then I think what we're going to do tonight is we're going to talk to each family separately, and then at the end of the show we'll bring everybody back together and talk like that. So the parents that we have on are Sarah Shannon. Her child Sabrina Shannon was 13 when she passed away. She passed away on September 30th, 2003. And we'll let Sarah talk about that. The next family that we have on the line is the Vondermeulen family, where Paul is here with us to talk about Emily. Emily was also 13 when she passed away from a peanut allergy on April 13th, 2006. And then the third family we have with us is Brian Hom, who is the dad of BJ Hom, who passed away at the age of 18 on July 1st, 2008. When they were on vacation. So welcome, everyone, to our show.
Great to be here.
Thank you for having us.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for having
me. Yeah, and, you're an example of taking a tragic situation and making the best out of it, for sure. And I'm glad that all of you agreed to come on here because this just isn't an easy topic. And I want to talk with Sarah first. Sarah, can you tell us about Sabrina? And her photo's up on the website, too, for those of you who are following along online.
Oh, my beautiful Sabrina. She was a creative, vibrant, intelligent child who was full of energy and loved life and also loved theater and art. And she had life-threatening food allergies since she was a baby. And Sabrina knew her allergies well. She was diagnosed with peanut, soya, and milk allergies. So Sabrina knew how to live vigilantly with her food allergies, and she knew what her food allergies were. And unfortunately, when she went to school in 2003, it was her first year of high school, and she ordered French fries for the second time only. September 29th was the day, and they used the same tongs as they did for the poutine. In Canada, we have this poutine, and they used the same tongs as for the cheese as they did for the fries, and with Sabrina's milk allergy, that was all it took to cause her to have a severe reaction, and the reaction wasn't was not handled appropriately, and as a result, she had collapsed and went into cardiac arrest, and by that time it was too late. They resuscitated her, and they brought her to the Children's Hospital of Eastern Ontario, where she was declared brain dead. And do you want me to continue on?
Yeah, hello? Yep, we're listening. Please.
And as her family came to her bedside, all and we all were around her, and she was on life support. And I remember very well holding her hand and making a promise to Sabrina that I'd do everything possible to prevent this tragedy from happening to another family or child. And I'm here today and keeping my promise to Sabrina, Elizabeth, and everyone. Thank you very much for having me here today. And so Sabrina lives on in many, many ways and forms. And I'll say Sabrina was, but Sabrina is. I mean, Sabrina has her own, as far as I can see, Sabrina's law has its own energy, and it seems to be going, reaching out to the whole world and to many, many people around globally. So, and it is a needed law. It's a good law. It's a law to protect children. And thank God we live in Sabrina's law.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask, what is that exactly?
Well, it's a very common sense law. And I always presumed that people would just get it and understand, but we do need laws to provide the tools to the teachers and to the principals. It was actually called Bill 3, but after it was Sabrina's death, they reintroduced it, and they named the Bill 3 Sabrina's Law. And really it is, it provides tools such as strategies to reduce exposure to allergens in classrooms and common areas.
Mm-hmm.
The storage of EpiPens all throughout the school in various locations, and that the teachers and school staff are provided education about how to use the epinephrine auto-injector and how to recognize the symptoms and what to do if there's a serious an anaphylactic reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Every school principal has to have a file of the food allergic individual, and all the teachers, the students have to be identified that have life-threatening food allergies by photograph, and there has to be a signed signature by a physician or an allergist.
Mm-hmm.
And there has to be communication strategies. It's basically a law about awareness, education, and knowledge.
I said, yeah, definitely all of the things that we so desperately need.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. And and I thought it was so simple and I told the teachers and I thought they would understand, but sometimes people need more than just a verbal communication. That's why laws are good and why we follow laws. We hear the law and people, they listen to laws. They will follow, people hear the law more than so than if they hear, a recommendation. It holds a lot of power.
Yeah, it seems to me that people don't understand food allergies so very much. I know I was just on Fox News, and people don't understand that you really can pass away from drinking milk or an egg or coming into contact with a peanut or a walnut or some fish or shellfish or soy or wheat. Those types of things. Those are the main allergens and so forth. It seems like people understand things like a diabetic child pretty well in school, but not a food allergic child. They don't understand the complexity of the allergy, for example. Like it can just be a trace of that near someone, or a kiss, for example, from, not in school, but a kiss, for example, from somebody who's had eaten a bag of peanuts, for example. Do you sort of find that to be the case?
Well, especially when Sabrina was alive, there was a lack of awareness. It was a struggle to get people to understand how serious Sabrina's allergies were. For example, we'd be invited to get-together, and I was very, very thorough in telling them that Sabrina cannot have any dairy products. And I got there, and everything was saturated with butter, and there was peanuts on the table. But is it just that, you know, I think it's like, if you recall, back in the 60s, everybody was smoking cigarettes everywhere, and now we are an educated society about smoking. So I think we'll get that to that place with food allergies. We're just at the beginning. We're educating the population, and everybody has to be on board, restaurants, schools, teachers, family members, everybody. And you have to have an open mind, and you have to be, you know, interested and take the time to learn about food allergies, because that little bit of time that you take to learn about food allergies can save a life.
Yeah, and it's not just a few people running around with food allergies these days either. It's 1 in 12 or 13 kids that has some sort of food allergy. And, you know, there's a whole host of adults as well. So it's really moving into the workplaces and airlines as well, aside from just the schools, you know, and those situations too. It's really carrying forward the colleges, the workplaces, and the airlines, as well as people continue to get the food allergies, and no one knows exactly why. Now, you were talking about Sabrina a little bit, and you were saying that you didn't think her, and not to point fingers or anything, but you didn't think that her reaction was handled quite well at school. What was something that could have been done better? You know, I know in our school we just had somebody toward the end of last year get rushed to the hospital from snack time with a peanut allergy as well. When you're in a school setting, what do you do to help somebody who's having an anaphylactic reaction?
Well, first of all, Sabrina inquired about the French fries. And they said, yes, Sabrina, these French fries do not contain milk, soya, or peanut. Now, if she had known that they were using, you know, the same utensils, and being a young 13-year-old, you do need adult supervision. And she inquired if the French fries were safe, and she took their, you know, she thought they were safe, and they were cooked in vegetable oil, and that was it. But I guess she did not, well, I know she did not observe that they used the same tongs for the cheese. She would not have eaten those French fries. She would say, no, I can't eat those. If she had that knowledge.
It's peanut.
Second of all, yeah, and if she, while after having the reaction, when you have an anaphylactic reaction, often your whole system is this systemic breakdown of all your whole, or all, everything is coming into action and reaction, and you're not thinking straight, and sometimes you're not getting enough oxygen to your brain. So we need, you know, adults to recognize the signs and symptoms. So Sabrina at the time thought she was having an asthma attack. Even if she was having an asthma attack, it should be taken seriously. So she was told to, her symptoms came on after lunch, and she was in her class. And she was told to go to the office, which was quite a long walk. She had to walk all the way down this hall and down these stairs, down another hall and around another hall. And then she sat, they had her sit in the waiting room, and they were trying to call me when they should have been calling the ambulance, when they should have been giving the epinephrine. And it wasn't until, like, she collapsed that they recognized that she, yes, this is anaphylaxis, that they ran back. Someone knew that her epinephrine was in her unlocked locker, and they ran back and retrieved her epinephrine, and by that time it was too late. Her whole cardiovascular system was shut down, and there was no circulation, and so the epinephrine wasn't going to go anywhere, and the ambulance attendants had arrived, and they were trying to resuscitate her, but she had a closed throat from her reaction, which was, you know, useless. So they transported her to the Pembroke General Hospital, and I had saw her, and it was the most horrific sight I ever saw. I knew that, you know, her lifeless body was being, you know, on the stretcher, being put in the ambulance. I'll never forget it. And I knew it was very, very serious, but I also had a lot of hope at that time. But the thing was, what should have been done was that Sabrina, first of all, she should never have eaten anything without her epinephrine right by her, wherever she was eating. And when her first signs and symptoms came on, they should have applied the epinephrine, called 911. She should not have moved at all. When you're having an anaphylactic reaction, you do not move. And you're not supposed to stand up suddenly either. A lot of people will give the epinephrine, feel better, stand up, and there's a drop of blood pressure, and that can cause death. So you have to be very, very careful, and you have to wait for the ambulance, not move, give the epinephrine, and you might need to give the second dose after 15 minutes if the ambulance is not there. And you have to be, loosen their clothes, keep them calm, just follow certain procedures of what to do, know how to use the epinephrine. But when in doubt, always use the epinephrine, because with anaphylaxis, it's very unforgiving, as you see with my daughter Sabrina, BJ, and Emily. These are three beautiful young people that should be on our earth today, contributing to our wonderful planet, and they're no longer with us because of lack of knowledge. All these deaths are preventable with more education and awareness and knowledge. They're all preventable. And if someone wants to make dessert with peanuts, okay, make the dessert with peanuts, but also have it labeled. Say this dessert has nuts. This dessert has peanuts. And
or
then if someone
or whatever,
exactly.
Stop you for one second. I just want to recap a few things, because you said some, aside from what you're saying right now, you said some very, very, very important things to prevent, further deaths from anaphylaxis. And as a person with these allergies, I want to really stress that again. And that is, I'm for anything that ever goes in your mouth with food allergies, if you have food allergies, no matter who is making it, read labels, ask and double check to make sure that it doesn't contain an allergen of something that you're allergic to. But also, if you're going to eat someone else's cooking, whether it's a school cafeteria food or a food court, or my own husband, for example, I double check everything that he makes as well. But I always have your epi by you for sure. And they sell epinephrine now in double doses. They sell them in packs of two now for a reason, because once you have, for example, one allergic reaction, it will frequently take two doses to save your life. And then the other thing that you didn't mention that I really do want to mention as well is, two things actually. One is Benadryl or some type of antihistamine. I use Benadryl when I have an allergic reaction. It is carried around in my purse, as well as the epi shots everywhere I go. It's in the car. It's when I work. It's in my desk drawer. It's in my purse. I have it on me. If I'm out for dinner with my husband, it's in his suit pocket, those types of things. It's always with me. And then the other thing that seems to help me if I'm having an allergic reaction is water. I don't know. I have the digestive anaphylaxis where the blood pressure goes down, and you mentioned that as well. A lot of people feel good when you put the epinephrine in your thigh, and then you feel fine, but really what you're supposed to do is still call 911, make sure 911 gets to you, and be treated at the emergency room. Don't just think you're fine with epinephrine in you and you're ready to go, because it wears off and you might need a second dose, just like you said. So does that recap some of the things that you wanted to say about?
Oh, yes, Elizabeth.
Okay.
So you know the fear that goes along with anaphylaxis. Like, people eat freely every day and never think of death. Well, with someone with anaphylaxis, it's a companion while you're eating. It's there, the possibility of death. So Sabrina, if she didn't know exactly what she was eating, she didn't go near it, which was really a real fear that she had. A lot of people didn't understand, because for them it was just a glass of milk, but for her it was like, kind of killer. So they just quite didn't understand it. But once I'm thinking this education process is on its way, and it's going to make a big difference for many food allergic individuals. And we're going to see all these food allergic individuals in retirement homes, and the retirement homes will have to get
strategies
in place. Yeah.
Yeah,
what's that?
I say that is a thing I say to my husband all the time. And Paul, we have Paul up next to talk to Emily. But I say that to my husband all the time. If I'm ever old and I can't take care of myself, how are people going to know that I'm allergic to nuts or fish or shellfish, or, you know, and not check it as you know, and be as vigilant as I am about checking everything.
And that's, Elizabeth, that's a really good point, because the people listening to this call need to tell these stories and their friends. And if you have friends who have allergies, you need to take care of your friends as well. And I think that one really good point that Sarah just made is that people just don't tend to want to believe how serious this can be for kids. So I would just really appeal to people who are listening to continue to go out there and tell these stories.
Yeah, because it's not a joke. When somebody says,
no,
I have a milk allergy and it's anaphylaxis, that means if you give me milk, I could die from that. And
right,
it's serious. It's not it's not ha-ha funny or anything. It's life or death most often. And I think people, I know from living this life of food allergies for 15 years that when I very first had food allergies, and mine was 15 years ago, people were like, you have what? And my own mom didn't believe me for a while. She's like, you're fine, geez, you know, kind of thing. You're not allergic. You've never been allergic to anything. And it's like, no, really, I am. And it only seems recently where it's all kind of caught up, where people are like, food allergies, oh, I get it. You know, I used to have to fight for seats on airplanes to say, hey, you know, you can't open that can of walnuts beside me, folks. Or, you know, we're not going to be landing where you want to land. We're going to be emergency landing. And so people, you know, need to understand it really is life or death. So can we, I want to thank you, Sarah, for sharing your story, and please don't leave the call. But we are going to move on to Paul, if that's okay with you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much, okay. Elizabeth. Can I just say something really quickly?
Well, please, yes.
Yes, I hope Sabrina's law goes around the world globally. Our laws like it to protect children.
Absolutely. I posted it in my Facebook and my Best Ever You Facebook, and, you know, people will share it, I'm sure, because when we say share something at Best Ever You, they share it, and it'll. I'm Twittering it and everything, so hopefully people will listen to the call and share that. So,
yeah.
Okay, deep breath. Paul, are you there with
us?
Yep, we can
hear
you. Yep.
Okay. I had to change phones, so.
No, it's okay. We hear you just fine. Let's talk about little Emily. Emily passed away at the age of 13 on April 13th, 2006, and it sounds like she was just at a food court at a mall, palling around.
Yes, you know, Emily. We discovered that Emily had food allergies early on in life. You know, she was about 2 years old. I gave her some peanut butter crackers, and she was fussing and rubbing her eyes right away and developed hives. And that's when we learned that she had the food allergies, and confirmed that with testing at the doctor's office and the allergist. And so, you know, she knew she had food allergies. She knew she was allergic to peanuts, and it was primarily peanuts that she was allergic to. She had some allergy to soy. But that day, she was an eighth grader at St. Dominic High School here in Cincinnati, and she was getting prepared for graduation, and she and her mom and her sister were out at the shopping mall here and finding her address for graduation. And about lunchtime, you know, they decided to eat some lunch. Now, just a little bit of background. You know, this probably sounds irresponsible at this point, but she did not have an EpiPen with her that day. You know, and that's one of the things that we unfortunately learned the very hard way, is that, you know, you can't get comfortable with these food allergies. Just because you ate at a restaurant once, twice, 10 times and had no problems, you cannot expect that to be your experience each time.
Yeah,
so,
that's just bad enough.
She, you know, so she didn't have an EpiPen with her that day, was not going to put herself at risk. She was 13 years old. She knew what she could and couldn't eat. And so ordered a sandwich that from a, you know, a place that she was familiar with, that she had eaten many, many times before without issue, and a bottle of water. And, you know, shortly after that, she, you know, had asked her mother, do I look hot? Do I look warm? So, you know, I think she was starting to have those initial reaction, the anaphylaxis reaction. And, you know, it just took her completely by surprise because she didn't feel like she ate anything that would put her at risk. She didn't, you know, she went back to the bathroom to change out of that dress because she was wearing her graduation dress at the time, and she went back to the bathroom to change back into her clothes. So she was by herself when it really came on strong and looked and felt everything like a bad asthma attack. My wife received a call from a woman that was in the bathroom with Emily, by the time my wife got there, she could tell right away just by looking at Emily's eyes, seeing the whiteness of her cheeks and the redness in her eyes, that this was not anything that we had seen ever before. So Emily came out of the bathroom, and my wife, Katrina, laid her to the ground immediately, and she, you know, started turning blue, of course, just like Sabrina. You know, her breathing was cut off, she was having a very difficult time breathing, even trying to do any kind of CPR mouth-to-mouth. It just, you couldn't get air into Emily. By the time the paramedics came, my wife felt like she was already gone. But they came. They did issue epinephrine on the way to the hospital. They tried frantically to revive Emily at the hospital, tried extraordinary means, and did not have success. And so she died that day about 4:20 on April 13th. And so you know, some of the things that we tried to, you know, one of our mottos is to tell other parents to stay vigilant, because for us, something happened. You know, something happened when she turned into a teenager. I don't know if it's the changes in her body. She had never had a serious reaction like that before. She had had, you know, the tingling of the tongue, or maybe she, you know, had swallowed something and she would feel ill and she would vomit and it would be all over. Yeah. We never, up to that point, had ever given her the EpiPen. So, you know, hear about these teenagers, you know, and there's something happening with these teenagers that that changes, that makes it more serious.
If I can shed some insight on that from experience with these allergies, because, you know, I've fought for my life probably about 20 times in the emergency room now and then been resuscitated twice, is that one thing that I hope to educate people on is that one of the things that happens with food allergies is that you may very well have just an itty-bitty reaction. Let's just take peanuts for a minute. You might have just a real slight reaction to peanuts the first time. Your tongue might feel a little weird, or you might get a few hives, and that might mean you're allergic. But the second time you encounter that same allergen, chances are the allergy will be worse, and the third time you encounter it, and the fourth time you encounter it, and so forth. They seem to get progressively worse. Or sometimes kids outgrow them, but my experience is with some of these allergies that with each exposure to the allergy does get worse. And that's very much the case with me. I've completely experienced that. The last allergic reaction I had to peanuts, it took a lot of life-saving measures to keep me on the planet, for sure. I wanted to say something about how brave you guys are, number one. As I'm sitting here listening to you guys tell these stories of your children, I commend you on your bravery. It's amazing that you can talk about this. And I wanted to also, something you said in your story about Emily. I'm noticing across the country that more and more teens are having allergic reactions and they're without their epinephrine. And I was thinking about this myself because, you know, as a 42-year-old woman, it's easy for me to carry it around because I have a purse. Super easy. I just carry my purse everywhere. But I'm trying to think of how a child age 13 comfortably carries epinephrine around. carries that shot
point.
Around.
Yeah.
Or if you're a boy and have a wallet.
A boy,
you know,
yeah.
Let's say you get to be, 25 and you're a man and you have anaphylaxis, where does that epinephrine go? And so I kind of want us all to work with the epinephrine people and see if we could develop a patch. So maybe boys can carry a patch in their wallet. Or that I know my friend Elizabeth at One Spot Allergy, she's got a belt, almost like a fanny pack type of thing, where the belt goes around the person's waist and there's a spot for the epi shot in the front. But and noticing that, it's not cool to carry epinephrine around, and I think we need to make it cool so more lives are saved. Do you guys agree with that?
Yes, I definitely agree
with that. And also, thinking about food establishments, restaurants, I mean, epinephrine, if it was more readily available, I know today it's a prescribed medicine.
Yeah.
But, if it was more available at food establishments, mm-hmm. where an allergic reaction can occur.
It should almost go hand in hand with those, the paddles they use.
The defibrillators.
Things. It should almost go hand in hand with that, where everybody should just
have epinephrine.
Yeah.
With proper education.
Absolutely.
And training. These kids are, there's just a wave of more of kids with food allergies coming in behind where Emily and Sabrina and BJ were. And as these kids come up, I think they're going to make changes. I think they're going to force changes in society.
Yeah,
as they
I think so too.
Just like we've seen.
One thing that really strikes me is teenagers with diabetes similarly start to experiment with things they're not supposed to eat, not taking their insulin. So part of it is when a teenager starts to take risk, they don't know what the consequences are. And one thing that you're doing by being on this call and all the wonderful work you're doing by telling your story, somehow I think if we could reach more teens, that would be important as well.
Yeah, teens
with your stories.
Definitely.
And help them understand, yes, they could die. Absolutely.
After Sabrina died, they called all the students to the office that had anaphylaxis, two that had not been identified, and they all were so upset. They didn't want anyone to know that they had anaphylaxis and that they carried epinephrine because they were afraid of bullying.
But
we want to change that. We want anaphylaxis, carrying epinephrine auto-injectors as part of their gear.
Yeah.
Cool.
Right.
And the other thing I talk a little about, and Brian will talk with you in a minute here about BJ, the thing I've been the spokesperson for the Medical Alert Foundation now for going on 7 years, and I know it's very, very tough to get teenagers and the college-age students to throw this Medic Alert on, and it's real important to have the Medic Alert on because as you start to separate from your parents, the EMTs are trained to look, where your pulse is. So they'll look and see the symbol, they're trained to look for Medic Alert, too, around your neck or around your wrist as they're taking your pulse. And they'll see, that you have food allergies just simply by flipping the Medic Alert over. I was on vacation in Massachusetts and ran into a family, you meet people by chance. We were just all sitting there, and the parents said, "Oh, I see you have a Medic Alert. What's that for?" And I said, "Well, it's for food allergies." And they said, "Well, for crying out loud, my son has nut and fish allergies. Do you think you could talk to him about the importance of that?" And it was like talking sort of to a brick wall a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
A teenage boy could put that on his wrist. It wasn't going to happen. And, we talked for a little bit, and he did actually finally agree to sign up for it. We talked for maybe 10 minutes or so, and I explained why and all this stuff. I said, if you're driving or if you're at college or something like that and your mom and dad aren't around because you don't want mom and dad hanging around with you all the time, you could probably use this. And he saw that. But they also didn't have their epinephrine with them. And so it kind of prompted me to get in touch with Brian and say, "Hey, could we do a show, about food allergies?" And so here we are. Talking about the need to carry epinephrine around and the Medic Alerts and just advocacy all around in the schools and the workplaces and everywhere. So, Brian, Paul, first, I want to thank you. Can you please stay on the line, too? Do you have time?
Certainly.
Okay. All right. So, Brian, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Can you talk about BJ for us for a little bit, about what happened, and talk about the walk you have and so forth?
Yeah, I mean, BJ was a loving son and brother, a loyal friend to everyone that he knew. And, of course, he was my firstborn, and he never asked for much. He was quiet, kind, and very content with a simple life. But, you know, it's hard to believe that 3 years have gone by since that summer. Our family planned a very special vacation at a resort in Los Cabos, Mexico, to celebrate BJ's high school graduation and 18th birthday. Now, we were so excited about this trip. We had no idea it would turn out to be the worst time of our lives. What happened is we landed in Mexico at 7 p.m. on July 1st, 2008. By the time we got to the resort, it was after 8, and we knew that the restaurants were going to close, and so we quickly just checked in, put our suitcases in our room without even unpacking. And at 8:45, we headed straight to the restaurant for a quick buffet dinner. Around 9:20, we finished eating, and we decided to take a walk around the resort to look at the pool and the beach. And then that was when BJ spoke his last words to me. He said, "Dad, my throat hurts. Can you buy me some cough drops?" I bought him some cough drops from the gift shop. Then I went to the resort arcade with my two other sons, and BJ stayed with my wife, Kathy. While they were walking together, he told her, "Mom, I don't feel well. Can we go to the room?" They started to walk to the elevator, but they never made it. Some lady came running to the arcade and told me, "Your son is very ill. You need to go to the lobby." So when I got to the lobby, I looked at BJ's face. His lips were blue. His face came very pale, and he was just gasping for air.
Yeah.
So basically, the staff there were trying to administer some kind of first aid, and it took the paramedics around 10 minutes, but they were trying to give him oxygen and CPR, and they tried to apply a tube down his throat because my wife and I were just crying and yelling, "BJ, breathe, breathe." But I could tell my wife, I said, "If he comes to, you know, he's going to have brain damage." He was so blue. And then finally the doctor came, because I was asking where's the doctor. We were at a resort that was supposed to have a doctor. When he finally came, I said, "He's going to be okay." I said, "The paramedics are telling me he's breathing." He took a deep breath, and he turned to me, and he said, "Sorry." And then he closed BJ's eyes and covered his head with a blanket. And that was probably the worst and most heartbreaking day in our lives. It felt like somebody just came in and ripped our heart right out of our chest. And even today, I still can't believe it happened. But, you know, I'm here on a mission to warn parents, children, family, and friends about the dangers of food allergies.
Yeah.
I want people to know who are in doubt that food allergies are serious and know how destructive they can be.
Yeah.
You know, we were always very careful about what BJ ate. The only reactions he ever got were mild, just some hives and a little bit of redness, and we'd give him some Benadryl that always would just basically cure him from the symptoms. And he never had any problems breathing, but this time, you know, the symptom was completely different.
Yeah.
And it was just from a few minutes after eating some dessert at a restaurant that it was a chocolate mousse, you know, that had some traces of peanuts in there that, you know, just killed him. We didn't have an EpiPen. We didn't carry an EpiPen because we never had one.
Right.
His first reaction when he was 2, and then the doctors never renewed it when he was 3. And we,
right.
I guess back then it wasn't as prevalent as it is now.
Yeah. Do you have other children? Do they have the same allergy?
Yeah. What's interesting is my wife and I have no food allergies. Our parents don't have any food allergies, but all three of my boys, I have two boys, Stephen and Brandon, also have the peanut allergy. Actually, Stephen broke out in hives the same day because we found out he ate the same dessert, and they were able to apply some kind of antihistamine to Stephen because I could have lost 2 sons, you know, within 3 hours of landing in Mexico. But, you know, we were fortunate. But, yeah, there's something going on. All 3 of my sons have the food allergy. What's another interesting point is my second son, even though his RAS test, his blood test shows that he should have severe reaction, he can eat it. So his allergist is telling him, you know, you're okay to eat it even though your blood test says differently. So
yeah,
I'm
be careful
a little
with
bit,
that
probably,
because
yeah,
I don't think I would be.
I'm in a little bit situation than Paul and Sarah, in that I have two other kids that I live on a daily basis, and a memory that I wish I never had of, you know, witnessing my son die and watching his last breath, you know, in front of me. You know, so I'm out there trying to find a cure, trying to find out the cause, and to let people know, like Paul said, you need to be vigilant. You know, I wish I heard Sarah's story in 2003. I wish I heard, you know, Paul's story about Emily in 2006, you know. And that's how I got in contact with Paul, too, is, you know, I was just devastated. I didn't know where to go, and I didn't understand how this could happen, you know. But I hear these stories that happened, you know, many years before BJ died. And that's why I'm trying to get my word out there. You know, I have this BJ Howe Memorial Run and Walk coming up Saturday, October 8th here in San Jose. You know, I'm trying to get the word out there that we need to let people know that you don't need to have a devastating loss like, you know, like Sabrina and Emily had, or BJ. You know, it's preventable. Unfortunately, the only cure right now is to avoid it. And all the deaths that are occurring is usually accidental. You know, people know they have food allergies, but they somehow accidentally get through cross-contamination or through some other means, end up eating these foods, and they don't have an EpiPen for some reason.
Yeah, it seems to be kind of a common theme of, you know, I would very much stress that if you do have food allergies, that you do carry the double pack of epinephrine, the junior epi or the regular epi, and always carry Benadryl with you at all times.
I can tell you this though, having witnessed BJ, you know, firsthand and die right in front of me, I don't think he could have even administered it unless he'd done it way before, you know, the symptoms got so severe. You know, you're just out of control. You just don't have muscle control anymore to apply an EpiPen. You don't even know where you're at.
That's what happens to me. Exactly. I've got the anaphylaxis where I have digestive anaphylaxis and where my blood pressure just tanks. There's no way on every reaction I've had, I can't administer my own epinephrine. So that's why I've nearly died a few times as well. So I understand what you're saying there completely. It's tough, and it's impossible. It's very hard to administer your own epinephrine when you're the one having the anaphylaxis. It's almost impossible, which is why it's so important for those teachers nearby. Keep the epinephrine in the classroom, not the nurse's office. Keep the epinephrine in the desk drawer of your work. Keep it in your purse. Keep it on you. I think it should be on the child all the time. Benadryl and epinephrine is on the child all the time, and the medic alert as well. But that's just me. I don't know what's realistic and what's not for kids. But definitely, do they keep epinephrine for children in the nurse's office or in the classroom?
In the nurse's office. That's the fear, too, is that I've been to the schools and they put them in a drawer, and, you know,
that is not
having
the right
teacher
place for
epinephrine. Run all the way to the nurse's office and to have enough time to get there. It happens so fast, like I said, is that the timing is critical. You know, every second counts. You know, like you guys were talking about, epinephrine should be something like in the first aid kit. It shouldn't be needed for a prescription. Side effects, you know, either the consequence of the death or having, you know, a burst of energy or, you know, adrenaline in your body is minor. You don't get a second chance. You don't get a second chance. That's what I've always hoped, that, you know, when I watched BJ die, that, you know, it was just a dream. You know, everything was just in slow motion, that, hey, it was going to give me a second chance. I was going to get a replay, but no, you know, that was it.
Yeah. So I wanted to mention one thing about allergies as well. Each of you have had children die doing three things that I never do as an allergic person, and that's eat at food courts and buffets and things like that. Would you recommend, knowing what you know now, would you recommend to people with food allergies to eat at these establishments anyway? Do you think it's safe for people with food allergies to eat at food courts and buffets and at the high school cafeteria and things like that? I'm just curious what your opinion
is. This is Paul. This is Paul. On our website, we tell people and recommend they not eat at food courts. One thing I didn't realize is, you know, a lot of those food courts, they store all their food in the same in the same fridge and freezers and things like that. So there's so many risks for cross-contamination there. Plus, the food restaurant areas are so crammed and small, you know, where they're preparing the food. I wouldn't take that chance, no.
Yeah. And what about you, Brian?
Yeah, I would, you know, nowadays, you know, knowing that I have two kids with food allergies, we definitely do not eat at buffets with, you know, my own son, Stephen, who has the same severe reaction to BJ, because I know it can happen again at any time.
Yeah.
And, you know, being a parent, you know, having survived seeing one son die, I don't think I could survive seeing a second son die. You know, it just can't happen. You know, I always compare it to the military. When you lose one son in the war, they don't make you send another one to the front line. And that's what I'm seeing with my son, Stephen, that I can't face taking them to a buffet or certain restaurants because, you know, it's just a very difficult situation. I know we can't live in a bubble, but you know, I'm going to do everything I can, you know, to stop him from ever dying from food.
Well, what I always say is to people I meet who have food allergies, I always say it's your life, and it's you know, you have to advocate for it. In other words, if you're at a like there's no way with the food allergies I have that I could ever go eat at a Chinese buffet. My best friend Dr. Eastman had her daughter's party, right, Katie, at the Chinese buffet. And what did I have to do? I had to respectfully decline and say, I can't even walk in there. My allergy is so airborne, because I have airborne anaphylaxis to peanuts and tree nuts and stuff. And I had to decline. And so, you know, we experience those things with food allergies. But, you know, it is up to us. And I don't think any of your kids... I think in each of your kids' cases, they knew what to eat and what not to eat, but it wasn't their fault. It was, you know, the people serving the food. I don't want to place blame or fault or anything like that, but your kids, like Sabrina, Sarah, you were saying Sabrina knew what she could eat and what she couldn't eat, and she was pretty diligent about it.
That's correct. And, for example, we went skiing, and we checked in the oil, and she had French fries when we go skiing. So it was something she could eat safely, usually. We also inquired if they had prepared anything else in the oil. Like, for example, a cheese ball prepared in the oil could cause Sabrina to have a reaction. So we had a common practice we'd check. And usually the French fries were always just French fries. And but we were very, very careful. And you have to, though, I really think that the world needs to be educated. Like, everybody should have safe food practices. And many, many people are going to grow up, for example, and, you know, join organizations or even, for example, join the military. And that's why we need to have an educated world. They really, you know, package goods, food labeling. You know, people should be able to interact in the world. We shouldn't isolate ourselves in a bubble. People have the right to exist, to live, and to eat. And it's, you know, and many, many people on our planet have food allergies, and it's part of our world. And, you know, the serving staff and food preparation all have to be educated and know how to prepare foods safely to avoid cross-contamination and know what the ingredients are. Food allergic individuals have the right to know what they're eating.
Yeah.
So,
well, and also friends of people who have food allergies need to step up and take responsibility to learn about them, too.
Well,
and I think... they really need to. And Elizabeth and I traveled together, and she taught me all kinds of things I needed to know. And I think a lot of times, like you said, people like they live in a bubble and they're afraid to share their story and say, look, this is what I need. But more people need to do that, and kids and peers who have friends with food allergies need to understand them. So I think that that's a big part of it. People need to speak up.
Yeah, Brian here. What I still see is I still people out there don't really understand the severity of food allergies. I can admit my wife and I, prior to BJ's death, always thought it would be just the hives, the itchy throat, you know, that it would never lead to death because the Benadryl was always enough to cure his symptoms. And I still see people, and I talk to people at these events, and I ask them, you know, their kids have peanut allergies or seafood allergies. Do you carry an EpiPen? No, it's just a mild, you know, itchy throat. And,
make
you know,
sure
these
you
are people that already
aspirin.
Have food allergies. Then we have the other stream with people who don't have food allergies, and they say, you know, I should have every right to, you know, eat peanuts on the planes, you know, have my son or daughter bring peanut butter sandwiches to the school. And, you know, until they lose a child like Paul and, you know, and Sarah and I, will you really understand what it is to lose a child and lose it to food? You know, it's a senseless death. You know, it's not like they were out there, you know, murdered by somebody or they were hit by a car. You know, they were just eating their normal
eating food.
Daily and, food. And it
I said that when Sabrina was dying, I said, like, she didn't do drugs, or she didn't smoke cigarettes, or she didn't drink alcohol. She had French fries. Like, it just seems so unbelievable.
A dessert, a chocolate mousse, it kills them.
Yeah.
And my wife actually tasted it, too, because he was always careful. He said, Mom, does this taste okay? You know, she tasted it, and he ate it.
Yeah, that brings me to a point. There is, with food, if you look on the back of any food label, you know, or the back of a package, you know, it'll say this contains soy or milk or peanuts or tree nuts. You know, it's commonly listed, you know, the allergens are listed. One of the things that I find that people without allergies don't understand is when it says this product is made in a facility that processes food with peanuts and tree nuts. And that means this has probably got it in there. For example, M&Ms are a very good case of that. On the packet, you think, okay, don't eat peanut M&Ms, but if you turn over the plain M&Ms, it's got it on there, the label. This is processed in a facility with nuts. So I think it's very important for anybody with food allergies to know, and those listening, because I know we have a lot of teachers and so forth that are listening right now to get some knowledge. It means everything. If it says on the back of that label and you know, it says it's processed with nuts, like this is a cereal and it's processed in a facility with nuts, it means it's probably got it in there. Don't feed it to somebody who has food allergies. Would you guys agree with that?
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
And I was going to say, too, in schools they put too much emphasis on food. Like they should reward kids with erasers or pencils or, you know, calculators, but not everything's about food.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, then there's also that big need to educate, you know, the food preparers at the restaurant. If, you know, we choose to bring our children with food allergies out to restaurants. Did you guys hear about the recent case of the lady who kept on asking if there was any nuts in the foods that she was ordering, and then they said no, and she kept on asking, and then she finally ate it, and it did contain it, and she ended up, you know, dying from that food? Is that, you know, the food preparers, one time we went to a Japanese restaurant, we specifically said my son's allergic to sesame seeds. They, you know, and then they bring me the sushi and it has sesame seeds on it. It's like, you know, it's one through one ear and out the other, where they don't understand the severity of what food allergies are and they take it lightly. So it's almost like if you have food allergies, don't go out. And that'll affect their business in the long term.
I think so. I keep saying that to my husband. With this many people with food allergies, at some point the restaurant industry is going to have to change, because the biggest danger I face with food allergies is dining out
it can't be done, and it hinders me, my ability to work and go out for lunch and socialize and everything. But going out for dinner, if I say, hi, I have food allergies, here's what I'm allergic to, does that have peanuts or tree nuts or fish or shellfish in it? And I hear the words, I don't think so, or let me check. That's my cue to never put that food in my mouth at all. So, like, even when I eat out, it's like plain pasta, and you almost have to say a prayer that nobody put a pine nut by my food or something like that. You know what I mean? It's eating out when people don't understand the complexity and severity of food allergies and cross-contamination is like dodging bullets to me. And so it's not something I do very often. What do you guys have to say about restaurants and so forth? What do you think has to change?
Maybe it should be a requirement that every restaurant be educated about food allergies and food preparation to avoid cross-contamination. Maybe that's the answer. Sarah speaking.
Yeah.
Do you think?
What do you think, Paul?
I agree, and I thought New Jersey had something like that already, where food preparation facilities had to have some kind of a training program annually, and new employees that come in. But, just one thing from our experience is the child must know. I hear a lot of parents don't want to scare their children by telling them how dangerous their food allergy is. But, the kids need to know how dangerous it is. That day, Emily is the only one that could have saved Emily that day because she was alone in the bathroom. She had to recognize the symptoms. She had to know it was not asthma and had to she would have had to give herself the EpiPen that day because, Brian said, the earlier the better.
Can I say something just really quickly? Sarah, studies have proven that the frontal lobe part of the brain isn't fully developed with children until they're, 22 years old. So their judgment is always off. And that's why they take risks, they make bad decisions, and that's why they need our guidance. And so... It's with Sabrina, what happened that day, her judgment wasn't on, and she's only 13. That's why we, as adults, as a society, we all have to be on board in educating the world and making it safer for food allergic individuals, and especially our children.
So we have 2 minutes left. Hang on one second. We have 2 minutes left, actually 3 minutes left. I know you were going to add to that comment. Before you add to that comment, I'm wondering if you can hold that thought for 1 second. And do you each have a website that you would like to direct listeners to?
Yes.
Okay. So let's go there. Sarah, do you have a website you want to address?
I have a Facebook site. It's under Sarah Shannon, my Facebook. And I have an email, Sabrina's... my sister's here, and she says, Sabrina's Law.
.com.
Yeah.
Okay, Paul, do you have a website?
Yeah, our website is foodallergyangel.com. So that's all one word, foodallergyangel.com.
So Sabrina's Law and foodallergyangel.com. And then Brian.
And Anaphylaxis Canada. If you can contact Anaphylaxis Canada, we have all sorts of information for Sabrina's Law.
Okay. And then, Brian, do you have a website?
The only website I have right now is the www.foodallergywalk.org. And if you guys can support the BJ Ha Memorial 5K, it's the first annual one that you can go to that website, to donate to finding a cure and, finding the cause. Like I said, the food allergy is just out of control. Peanuts allergy itself tripled.
Okay.
And there's, no reason why it should be on the rise.
Yeah, let me. We only have about a minute left, and I want to invite you all back again. Maybe in a few months from now we could have another show and do another hour and talk more in depth about all the things. I think this has been a really good introductory call to hear the stories and to kind of get some thoughts about food allergies going. I'm going to go ahead and close the show, and I want to say thank you to all of you guys, and in memory of Sabrina Shannon, age 13. Emily Vandermeulen, age 13, and BJ Hom, age 18, who all passed away from anaphylaxis. If you are a parent who has a child with food allergies, please do two things. Please join foodallergy.org. Please also join medicalert.org.
And start there with those two organizations to guide you through the food allergies, of course, your doctors and things like that. But those two organizations are wonderful as well. And connect with us. I can always connect you to one of these families easily, and you know, they're all tremendous resources. And I want to thank you guys all for being with us. And we'll follow up on besteveryou.com more in depth with this person. So thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you for
Katie
having us.
Brian,
thank you all.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Yeah, all the best, and please keep in touch with us.
Okay.
Thank you.
Looking
all right,
forward
have a good night.
To good night. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, thank you.
Thank you, too.
Thank you.